Shane Lowry, how are you keeping?
I'm good, thanks. Well, I'm as good as I can be.
Golf Weekly, exclusively available on Patreon. Sign up now at otbsports.com/golfweekly.
The OTB Podcast Network.
Dad Pod.
This is a video thing as well.
You don't have a name.
Podcast.
Midlife Crisis.
Howdy Daddy.
Midlife Crisis.
Dadcast.
That's not bad, actually, yeah. All right, welcome along to Dadcast. We are but three today. Ger Gilroy has clearly got better things to be doing with his time. And to be absolutely fair to everybody, we've made a commitment to actually do this thing a little bit more often. And if we're relying on having all four of us here, as Dave McIntyre has pointed out this week, when we had, I mean, there were ESL-style talks. I think if that were the case, we'd never get it done. So that's what we've...
Who's Tottenham?
We've committed to do... What have we committed to doing? I suppose.
I hope the three of you, I'm speaking on Jer's behalf here as well, which is possibly a dangerous pursuit. I'm committing to a dad pod, a dad cast per fortnight. Now,
yeah,
our listeners are going to hold us to that.
It's fair.
In fairness, we did do a golf podcast called Golf Weekly and did it once every month for about 4 years, and it never did it any harm. So.
And then suddenly it's become the greatest podcast success story in the land.
Didn't want to
say. Well, not for too much longer. The Dadcast is going to streak past it in the very near future.
It might be streaking.
It's going to shit its pants past it.
And vomit anyway, all over a passerby.
The good news is that we are definitely committed to doing this a bit more often. And the ones that we do, we're actually going to post as well, as the other commitment that when we record, we will feel obliged that we should actually post them.
Yeah, well, only this morning I received a complaint that the most recent recording was not posted.
It was actually posted, but it just went up on the Off the Ball YouTube site. So we never found the light of day if you were a Dadcast subscriber, which there are obviously a few. Life is good. Everybody feeling a bit sort of the better of announcements this week and been able to poke the head out of the cave a little bit and come out of hibernation a small bit?
Yeah, it's, I definitely see the light at the end of the tunnel, literally and metaphorically. It's been... the lads were back training this week. The younger guys back tomorrow morning. I was booking camps to beat the band there on Wednesday nights, summer camps, cool camps, soccer camps. And we're planning a few days away at some stage. And two boys seem to be enjoying the outdoors. And yeah, it's as good as I've felt for a long time. It's been really good. Delighted.
You've been camping.
I'm one of those people who's been brainwashed into going, I don't really want to go anywhere now.
I'm sort of used to
not packing up the entire family into a car, all the moaning and whining as you're driving down the motorway. Every weekend for the last 6 months, certainly since Christmas, has been the exact same. And I'm kind of into a routine now, and I like it.
You're like Brooks from the Shawshank.
Exactly. It's been thrown upside down in the last week with the kids going back to sport, which I was massively pushing for and thinking, wouldn't it be great to get back to that previous routine again? And now we have 6 days a week of activities. Monday is the only day where nothing happens yet, though there was a letter in yesterday from school that cricket lessons were starting.
Wow.
On a Monday. And the only thing putting us off is that it's a Monday. I like the thought of cricket. You know, it's a smaller sport, so the chances of being really good at it are massively improved compared to, obviously, you know, soccer, where unfortunately, you know, it's just never going to happen.
Dave, can I just confirm, do you believe to be home alone, or are there others in the house?
There is another adult in the house.
Okay.
Why, were you wondering why you were so quiet?
No, your door went halfway open there. I just make it, wasn't it?
You think there was an intruder in the house?
Yeah.
Just on that point, because we booked for our holidays for late summer. We booked it right back in January, thankfully, but we're going to Dingle. I've never been to Dingle, but I know it's a long way away. And as we know, children and cars is a dangerous mix at the best of times. But I'd say not a fortnight went past where we weren't going to probably Galway at some stage down to see my parents. So they were well used to it pre-COVID, and everyone had got to a stage where there was very little pissing, very little puking, and we were all quite happy with life. Whereas now, like 3 weeks ago, we went for a drive to the seaside. It was pissing rain, so we stayed in the car. We went to McDonald's drive through, got a McFlurry, and sat in front of the sea. And by the time we're coming back, and this is no more than 20 minutes away, all three of them were, don't feel good. Don't feel good. Stomach is going.
Carsick.
Carsick from being in the car for 20 minutes. Wow. How the hell are we going to get to Dingle?
There might be some that would suggest what you fed them in the previous half an hour might have had something to do with it.
I don't think so.
Don't give them McFlurries.
Well, I suppose there isn't a kid in the land that has been in the car for longer than 20 minutes, you're right, over the last 16 months. So that's definitely going to be an issue. Car sickness is going to be a problem. But you just, what alternative have you got? If you pick somewhere to go, I wouldn't be choosing my holiday destination on the potential for car sickness being an issue. Just go for it and look. Someone throws up. You've been down that road many times before.
Are they watching TV or are they reading or is there something they're doing that's contributing to it?
No, they're not really doing that. They're doing that thing that, you know, I insist they do, which is just look out the window and if they need to be bored, be bored.
Yeah.
I suffered through this. Yeah. I suffered through this when I was a kid. You know, those journeys up to see granny and granddad and Ballinrobe in the car for 50 minutes and there's nothing to occupy yourself except stare into the distance and use your imagination.
Look out at the beautiful Mayo.
Exactly.
Read a book.
But
they're not great for reading in the car now. Maybe on a longer journey they might, but...
Bring toys. A big bag of plastic toy soldiers or something.
My kids are 9 and 7. If I turned up with a big bag of plastic soldiers...
So we've got into the thing where, like, if we're on a trip, that the danger is that one of them fall asleep. And then the danger is if you're leaving late in the day... then they're waking up at like 6 o'clock and then you have to try and start to put them to bed like an hour later, which just ain't happening. And then they're hopping off the walls at like 11 o'clock at night. So it's our thing is kind of, you might give them, watch them, let them watch a bit of YouTube, just keep them awake for half an hour, which we don't like doing, but it's either that or have them hopping off the walls at 11 o'clock. And it's the
weevils. That is the one time where screen time is 100% justified. I would employ that always when we're coming on from Cavan, where my mother's family grew up, and we go up to the farm and there's no screens on the way up. But if you leave the farm at 4:30 and you've got an hour and 20 minutes, an hour and a half journey home, the last thing you want is 5 minutes out the gap for them to be asleep and have 90 minutes of sleep under their belts by the time you put the car in the driveway. So I bring two tablets, you whip them both out and knock yourselves out, lads. Watch whatever you want for the next hour and a half. Sometimes that's just all that needs to be done. I mean, it's a far better alternative to them, as you said, climbing, hanging out of the chandeliers at 9:30.
Oh, and not even the house down. We had that this week where my wife was bringing one of the lads up to Scouts on Wednesday, and the youngest, the 2-year-old, fell asleep. She was only in the car about 2 minutes, but fell asleep. And the next 2 hours were hell on earth. The crankiness, the meltdowns, the insanity, and also your entire evening is just gone.
You're going through some terrible two times at the moment, Adrian, are you?
Yes. Yeah. So this kid had gone from the point where my wife always sort of...
Your kid, by the way, right?
Huh?
You said this kid in a way as if it was the story of somebody else. So this kid, this child.
This kid had gone from, like, my wife would always take the mick out of me now and say, oh, your little angel, she's so peaceful, because I would always make the point about how great she was and well-behaved she was, and she was just generally an unbelievable child in that, like, she was so happy, she would just go along with everything, she was like, it was like the stuff you see in the Waltons or whatever, like, it's like, this is incredible, she's just going to be like this for the rest of her life. And then around about the time that she turned 2 a few months ago, I'm not going to say she's a demon all the time. I think that would be very harsh on her. But like, there are times where there is just absolutely no talking to her at all. There's no getting, she'll throw a strop about literally nothing and there is no getting her out of it. She'll go off, she'll lie on the ground, she'll do that thing of like stomping her feet off the ground and there's no talking to her. And there's no, like, the only thing that I can find that works in any way at all, and it's only ever a temporary measure, is some distraction, like, oh, look, there's a squirrel on the wall or whatever. And it lasts for a few minutes until she remembers that she's in a bad form. And it's horrific, and there's nothing you can do about it, and it's tough going. What advice have you got?
Is it not your second time around through this, though?
I honestly can't remember anything about anything.
That's my biggest worry with this podcast. Every time something comes up, I have no memory of that happening.
That's right.
That entire 3-year period.
And like, that's only for the other lad 2 years ago. And I'm sure, I don't know. I can't, honestly can't remember. It definitely wasn't a case that he was so nice and then became so like troublesome. There was probably like an even level of.
She's a bit Andy Gorham, is she?
Hi. What happened there about Andy Gorham?
Fine.
We'll edit that bit out.
Sure, we'll go. You barely managed to post the thing. I'm not going to edit it. Whatever gets said.
I never went through the. We never went through the terrible twos with the two boys at all.
Right.
There was no. I remember at the time thinking this is waiting and waiting and waiting. Definitely with the current 2-year-old, there's a bit of it, maybe not as extreme as what you're saying. And I wonder, is it more just her personality that she is just far more stubborn and sure of herself and unwilling to just go along with things? But there was definitely a period of a couple of months where meltdowns were becoming more frequent. And now when she's outside and she's sort of playing with the neighbor's kids, like if she doesn't get her own way, the meltdown is quite extreme. So maybe that's the terrible twos, but I think maybe we've escaped the worst of it.
Well, I think the terrible twos is a bit of a misnomer because it goes into the threes and fours sometimes as well, depending on the child. So it's really, there is no time limit on this sort of behavior. We seem to have bypassed it for the most part with the second guy, but the first fella, there was fire and brimstone an awful lot of the time. And I think myself, my wife probably handled it in different ways because it also depends on the personality of the adult present at the scene of a particular crime and any moment in time. But I found the easiest way to deal with it was just to pretend it was not happening and completely ignore the child until the storm blew itself out. As you said, Adrian, there really is no way, bar maybe a temporary distraction. There's no surefire way of handling this. There's no silver bullet. There's no panacea. You just have to ride it out. And some people ride it out by getting angry and trying to come up with a solution, as a lot of men do to these sort of problems. Well, I'm a man and I can fix this. Well, you probably can't. I found the best thing to do was just leave him be. Or leave her be in this case. And whether it's a lot easier to do that if it's in the middle of your sitting room floor and there's no civilian presence outside of your house to witness it and to pass judgment of what's happening or to offer sympathy or to offer an unhelpful and unsolicited piece of advice. Mm-hmm. But even when it happens publicly, you just have to let them ride it out. Unless they're hitting somebody else or verbally abusing somebody else, just let it go, because there isn't a parent out there that doesn't see that and go, there but for the grace of God go I. That was me. I've been that soldier. Or if you've got a 1-year-old or a newborn, that's going to be me. I will be that soldier. If you're a parent out there that looks down your nose at other people's children as they kick off when they're 2 years old, well, screw you. I mean, I think that says more about you than it does anybody else. Ride out the storm, Adrian. That is my advice.
The public thing is so interesting, and the people looking down their nose, it does happen in public, the people looking down at their nose at me or her, I couldn't give two hoots about. It's the people who kind of smile knowingly and like nod and ah, like almost it's so cute. I'm like, fuck you, fuck, I'm stressed there. This is fucking, what are you smiling about? But is it considered to be bad parenting to, because I often wonder about that thing about just leaving them at it, like whether it is a tantrum or in the elder lad's case, if he's done something like hit his sister and like, I'll send him up to his room to have a think about it. Is that bad parenting?
Well, there's a difference between an incident and an isolated piece of poor behavior on your child's behalf and the terrible twos or threes, whatever the case may be, because that is a phase. And within that phase, you could be experiencing these symptoms, if you want to call them that, every 15 minutes. Okay. Like, there's obviously a problem if your 4 or 5-year-old is kicking off every few minutes and hitting out every few minutes. There's probably an anger issue there or something's eating them and you need to get to the bottom of it. That is not the case with a 2-year-old or a 3-year-old. They're just maybe looking for a little bit of attention. They could be tired. They could be hungry. They could be wet. They could be, if you're toilet training them, and they really need to go, but they don't want to because there's a little bit of a fear there. It could be something psychological. It could be any number of things. And I don't know if I have the capacity to find a solution to any of those problems in that moment. And if you just let them ride it out, children are clever at that age. If they see that absolutely nobody is paying any attention to the sheer effort that they're putting in to their tantrum at this moment of time. They just stop.
Yeah.
They will look around and they will see what's happening and they will stop.
She'll often, start playing with something on the floor. Like
Exactly.
She'll be in. You're dead right about the ignoring them thing. She could go in and out of that humor like 10 times over half an hour, like wailing in the same position, wailing, playing. It's incredible sight.
I'm no psychotherapist, but I'm presuming. But I presume that they have literally had temporary leave of their senses when they're mid meltdown. Mm. That you know the difference between the anger and they're just pissed off about something too. Mm. It just goes to that next level that actually, like, they've lost control of themselves completely. They don't even realize what they're doing, and at that stage, all you can do is walk away because nothing you can do can fix this. Nothing you can do.
It's like that
putting them in front of the TV, giving them something that they want isn't going to appease them. They've just lost it. So you just got to let them cry it out.
It's like the footballer that gets sent off and the red mist descends. And no matter what any of their teammates say to them, they cannot stop themselves going up to the referee, verbally abusing the referee, pointing the finger at other players, punching someone, hitting someone. They walk off towards the dugout and start kicking chairs and smacking doors and all the sorts. They took the jersey off and they fling it onto the ground. Maybe if you're Trevor Brennan, you jump into the crowd and punch the head off an Ulster fan. There's no talking to them. So they, as you say, Nathan, they have taken leave of their senses. So
you just hope to raise a rugby player, right? Who just goes, listen, I disagree with that decision, but I mean, I'm going and off I go to my bedroom.
let's acknowledge the fact Trevor Brennan was my boy.
I will throw him in, but he's an outlier, Dave. Come on now.
At an elder age, we have one of them. Our 7-year-old, when things don't go his way and he gets really pissed off, he storms off up to his room. And I think he seems to think that this is some sort of weird punishment for us. I'm like, great. Off he goes. Like, I'm going to my room. Like,
okay.
Brilliant.
Like, see you later.
What happens?
Where's the downside for me here?
What's the timeline there then? What happens?
With the older one, you'd probably have to send him to his room a bit and it could go up 20 minutes later and there'd probably be still tears in the eyes and you'd be half playing with Lego and still be upset and thinking about whether he's going to apologize or waiting for you to come up to force him into apologizing. Whereas the 7-year-old, I don't know if he ever fully recovers. I think the anger is still there.
Right.
I think if you left him for half an hour, he'd still be as annoyed about.
And would you have to go up to him and say, here, come on.
Eventually you'd have to. You're just delaying what you got to do, but at least he's in a room by himself and you've got half an hour apiece.
You should try the ignoring her, Adrian.
Yeah.
Like, probably between now and bedtime tonight, she's probably going to throw the toys out of the pram and just see what happens if you just walk out of the room. How long does it take before she quietens down?
Yeah, what she does is she is actually, you mentioned earlier on, Nathan, about being independent or whatever. She's really, really like independent. She's totally her own woman and is like not wanting to be told about things. So she'll actually go off. Sometimes she will sort of go on her own, Dave, and she might go out into the hallway, for example, and just lie down in the hallway and like have the tantrum out of people's eye line. But I mean, obviously, the neighbors can hear her wailing. It's not a victimless crime. There are a lot of people to get dragged into it.
Don't be worrying about the neighbors.
I don't.
It feels like your ego has been bruised here, Adrian. I think that's what's happening because
it's not. It's
the
not.
Apple,
it's
she's the like, apple of your eye. You have a special connection where she always behaves so well for you, could do nothing wrong, and now this is how she's repaid you.
I still maintain whenever it gets brought up, I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about. She was bought to have that reaction, but look. So come here. That's my linen laundered. Dave, you've got dirty linen that's been in public quite a bit over the last
while. Yeah, there's things. It's fly infested at this stage. But there's a parallel to what we were just discussing as regards your 2-year-old, because it surrounds that growing inability to be embarrassed by my children in a public forum, which is definitely an asset to have in your armory as a parent, I think. But if this incident taken place a year ago or 2 years ago, I would have been mortified. But we were just around a coffee shop there the other day and two lads were playing in a car park. They were playing Floor is Lava, which is a huge hit in our house these days. I don't know if I've watched it on Netflix, lads. Great show. It's basically three contestants, and the floor is made up of some gooey substance, which they call lava. And there's a series of obstacles or chairs and desks and that kind of stuff. And you have to use them to get to the other side of the room. You fall in, you're in the lava, you're eliminated. And it is a really good show, actually. I've watched many episodes with them. So they play four lava. So they're jumping over walls and onto stones and trying to stay on the curbs or avoid the lines and markings in the road or whatever. But we're there for about 20 minutes. I'd finished my coffee. I had to go back and do some work. Right, lads, come on. Six-year-old said, oh yeah, no problem. Daddy came over. Four-year-old was not happy that the game was being interrupted. And from about a 30-yard distance started to verbally abuse me.
What are we talking about?
Well, you're a
daddy,
stupid,
why are you such a...
you're a stupid idiot. You're the worst daddy in the world. And this wasn't like, you know, a quiet conversation between the two of us. He was telling the entire area and all of the patrons of that coffee shop exactly what he thought of me at that moment in time. And there was about four other couples, all who had children, there witnessing this. And then eventually he knew we were leaving. He had to come over. He came over and he slapped me on the leg. And again, I just went, okay, whatever. Like, I kind of think I quietly said to him, I said, you just hit me there. I promise you, you're going to pay for that. All right. That is unacceptable behavior. And I can assure you that when we get home, you're going to pay for that, which in his world only means one thing. Doesn't get to watch TV that evening. Right. But I didn't have a moment's thought for those around me. I didn't care, because they either all had children my kid's age and are fully aware of that situation happening, or they are the parents of toddlers or newborns and they know full well, looking at me, that that is going to be them someday. And I felt no shame or embarrassment at all. I just let him shout and then brought him home and dealt with it when I got home. At what point do you cease to be embarrassed by your own children?
Yeah, I don't feel like I was ever really embarrassed by my kids. Maybe I just don't get embarrassed that much in general. So I was never that bothered. I think the hitting is the one that makes it a very different experience. Like, I've only had a couple of occasions where one of the kids has kind of lashed out and you're almost in a little bit of shock of, ooh, now this feels like there's another level of punishment I need to get to. And what is that level of punishment? And how do I get an appropriate punishment for, because in your head you're going, well, it's going to be a violent child. Is this child going to be going around thumping everybody for the rest of their life? And embarrassed.
It'd be more if they were like having to lash off another kid. That would be then like, oh crap. Like that's,
yeah.
If they're having to lash off each other, I think it's WrestleMania. It's all on. Everybody knows the rules.
As long as the physical abuse is kept in house, it's fine.
yeah, exactly.
Yeah, as long as when he's calling you an idiot, you're like, you're a fucking idiot. I tell you. Yeah. Who's the fucking idiot?
What the bleep did you say to me? It was funny because my brother was with me. He'd come over he's come over and we've done the school run, the walk down to get the boys and back. And as we were walking back to the house, he said, could you imagine the repercussions if we had done that, or when we did that? Can you remember the repercussions when we did that when we were kids? And it was, I mean, it's night and day. And
what would the repercussions have been?
Well, there would have been a slap.
Yeah.
Do you know, there would have been a clip around the ear.
Yeah.
And it certainly wouldn't have been violent or forceful, but it would have been enough to remind you that probably best to think twice before you behave in this manner again, son. And I know this sort of parenting is outlawed for a reason, a very good reason. And I'm glad to say I've never laid a hand on my kids, but the ability for you to discipline your children is definitely lessened by the fact that you don't have that in your armory, even the threat of it. Because I'd say the best parents from our parents' generation, the threat was there, but they never found themselves forced to use it.
Yeah.
I thought for a second there that maybe how this podcast was going to go to the next level in terms of fame was that we were going to start advocating for the return of slapping
corporal
children.
Punishment.
We're bringing it to the doll. We have no way of controlling these children. They're abusing us in the streets. A little clip.
Yeah.
Yeah. Everybody, the nation should unite behind us. So I'd say we turn up at the Dáil, and there'd be like the three of us with black art.
Yeah,
just in case there is somebody listening to this that is going to rush immediately to social services, we do not condone the slapping of children and fully support it being outlawed in the statute books. 100%. It's not a grey area.
I do remember getting specifically two giant kicks up the hole from for two separate incidents that, I mean, I deserved. The hole didn't even come close to what I deserved to get.
What did you do?
Didn't do me any harm. That is for an entirely different podcast.
Session. What age were you?
I would have been in my...
On your 21st, was it?
Yeah, that's right. Last year. No, I'd have been in my teens. I'd have been in my...
Sorry, teens?
14, 15. It was stupid stuff. But a good toe in the hole is...
Were you not like the same size as your alpha in your teens?
No, I was quite a small grower. Is that...
There's a level of... Until you get to 16, 17, there's a level of strength that you're falling.
Oh, the man strength. The man strength. I mean, my old man's in his mid-80s now and he'd still clobber me, I'd say. There'd be no bother to him. But, didn't do me any harm sort of thing. Like, you're better off not doing that. But at the same time, I deserve a toe in the hole. Like, it's... That was the way of life back then. But we're in a better place now where you can sit down. It's funny because you do, when there are those moments where you get filled with, anger / rage or whatever, and you're trying to deal with your kids. And like inside you're like you're like fuming and want to make sure that your kid understands that whatever they did is the right thing to do. And obviously you need to remain calm and convey your message in a good tone and a clearly communicated message. And internally, you're like, the lava is boiling up.
So, oh, yeah. The ability to stay cool in those situations is a fleeting one. It isn't always there. You do your absolute best not to lose your temper. I mean, it's very difficult when you are being... It wasn't that I wasn't embarrassed, but I was annoyed. Like, this is my four-year-old who I love like more than life itself. And he's abusing me. And he's hit me a slap as well. Like, it's not a nice position to be in. You know, you care so deeply about this person and they're verbally abusing you. It's no one wants to be abused by anybody. But when it's someone that you love, it's even more difficult to take. But I did manage just about, retain my senses and keep my cool. And we went home and he was sent to his room. And then a few minutes later, I went up and we had a chat. And, you know, you try and impress on him how that behavior is just completely unacceptable and how hurtful it is to me. You know, I'm heartbroken by the way that you spoke to me. And then you hug it out and, you know, there's a kiss and a cuddle. And then he then has about 4 hours in which to break down the barrier to his 1 hour of TV that night. And he usually does manage to break down those barriers, in fairness to him. It's very hard to hold a grudge for several hours.
Yeah. Particularly when they've told you about what happened.
You are punishing yourself a little bit as well by denying
that's
him
right, that's
that
right,
hour.
That's right.
You are. It makes it difficult. And it's an awful lot easier to say, oh, by the way, he's not allowed to watch TV tonight. I'm heading to work later. I'll let that fall into your lap and I'll dole out the punishment, but you're the one you're the one who has to enforce it. But
when did slapping stop being a thing? Like, I don't remember, you'd never be at your friend's house when you're growing up and if it happened that their parent had given them a slap.
But they'd never give you a clip while somebody was in the house.
Somebody else was there, yeah.
No, you couldn't clip them if somebody else in the house. No. That wouldn't be good etiquette. You wait until they're out and then kick the shit out of them.
I'm just looking at something here. The right to reasonable chastisement was removed in 2015.
Right.
Yeah. So I'd say culturally it had disappeared before.
Yeah, I think so, yeah. Yeah, it's interesting. I was on a 3-hour course on Monday night for safeguarding of children rules and protocols for the FAI. And, you know, we were brought through these different scenarios like role play and that kind of thing. But one was whereby you see a father forcefully hit their child as they're getting into the car after leaving the field because the child missed a chance to score. And we're all forced into a position where we have to ask ourselves, how would you react in that situation? Oof. I don't recall the last time I saw a parent hitting a child.
No.
I guess a great thing, obviously, because if it was something you saw regularly, like we remember as kids seeing a kid getting a slap in the supermarket for throwing a tantrum or for throwing something or, you know, belting the head off his little brother or something. But thankfully, it's not something that I've had to think about because
what,
I haven't seen.
What would you do?
Well, in that situation, I mean, the scenario, the hypothetical scenario in this case, it was the words used in the script were a forceful punch to the head. Oof. So, I mean, in that
you're
situation,
legally obliged, aren't you?
Well, that situation, you ring the guards.
But I did the same course. I was surprised by the amount of things that happened that you were legally obliged to actually report it.
Yeah, well, I don't know if you're legally obliged. One of the primary things to do is obviously you have to speak to the person who is responsible for the safeguarding measures within the club that you were with at the time. But for me, in that particular situation, that would be secondary. The first thing you do is ring the guards, because if that kid has been hit in that way, getting into the car in front of all these other people, how is that child being treated behind closed doors? And, you know, the welfare of that child is paramount. It's of more importance than anything else. But on the slapping of children, it's such a rare thing to see. Mm. Now, that obviously doesn't mean that it doesn't go on. I'm sure we know that there's physical abuse of children going on behind closed doors. And I mean, that's a shocking thing, but you don't see it publicly anymore.
Well, this is quite the joyous return to Dadcast.
So, discipline by Dadcast.
Yeah. I mean, don't pay any attention to that. Should we just have a constant ticker rolling across the bottom of the screen? Do not heed this advice. Do the opposite. And what else is going on?
We're potty training.
Right.
You're a dab handed at this stage now, Nathan, aren't you? Three times a
chat. Yeah, but again, it's so long, like 5 years since the last one. Boy, one was a difficult process. I think there were many tears along the way from many people involved in the scenario. It was could well have been a year-long experience, I think, by the time we got there. Maybe started too early and ended too late. The second one, had watched what had happened with the first one, thought, actually, I've seen how this works. I'll just hop up and away we go. This so far has been sort of hit and miss. There's been I think yesterday there were 4 hits and 3 misses. Turns out there was a lot of peeing going on. There were 4 hits and 3 misses. So
that's
I'm not sure.
Good.
I'm trying to figure out. Is it that just that process that so in a week's time we're about 5 and 2 and then...
How many days
seven,
into
six,
how many
six
days
and
into
one
it?
And the one is like... I think we're only about 3 days in.
That sounds really
good. There's been no poop in the 3 days. Oof. And generally it'd be like clockwork, so... You know, there's maybe a.
And what about the child? So she's a bit sort of white line fever, is she?
Yeah. I'd say she's just the
stage fright.
What happens next? But the peeing is going okay, so I'm quite hopeful that this will be done by the time we can go traveling in the car again.
So I do remember the first time there was no poop for 2 or 3 days, and you're like. Watching him like a hawk. You're like, oh, this is it's en route. This must be incoming. It's being brewed as we speak. I'm not going to get caught. And so you're following around the room. You're looking, making sure he's not going behind any couches or anything.
That's right.
And then they find a way to beat you. They somehow manage to, you know, find that maybe the doorbell rings or maybe you're on your phone or you've gone to the loo yourself or you've had to do something. And that 2 minute window, once it's like watching Line of Duty when for some reason they've taken the surveillance off for due to some paperwork inaccuracies. And in that short window, the suspect has managed to evade their clutches. That used to happen to us. And you come back in 2 minutes later and you'd be met with a little deposit on the floor. So you need to keep an eye on that one, Nathan. She can't go on forever.
And the thing is, you're obviously going to be outside at some point, Nathan, and you might need to go on the side.
Well, I think we're still at that stage. So she's just gone out there for a walk. So I presume there's a nappy on.
Okay. Because I mean, like, if you need to take a dump at the side of the road or whatever, like
for a nappy over the
that's
fence.
What you should do. That's what you should do, you know.
Was that the right thing to do, to send her out with a nappy on? Is that not mixed?
Maybe
mixed
she
messages?
Doesn't. Maybe it is, but she's still very young. So well, I don't. Maybe she's not. What age do you meant to potty train your kids?
But what age is she?
She'd be 3 in August.
Yeah, I think that's about right.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Before they go into like Montessori or whatever.
That's true. Yeah, she's starting Montessori in September. So,
but it's a real generalization, isn't it? But the talk would be, I've no experience of it for obviously, but the talk would be the girls tend to pick these things up a bit more quickly.
Oh, I'd be shocked if she didn't. But generally, yes, everything you've heard about girls being smarter and more mature than boys has played out in our house so far.
And as we get older, we realize it isn't specific to children and that it seems to be the situation well into our lives.
That is the return to Dadcast. And if people want to get in touch, Jarrah is sitting on, I understand, like a whole outbox or inbox of
a gold mine
communique. So we'll bring those to you whenever he's going to be. He'll be here about 2 weeks' time. We're going to do it. And in the meantime, if you have anything you want to get into us, well, you've got an email address that I can't remember. You can hit us up on Twitter. It's probably the easiest place to get us, at DadcastPod. And leave reviews on all the usual places that you find us. Lads, enjoy the return to normal life over the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, you too. Enjoy the return to the playing fields in Dublin. It'll have to be a Dadcast debrief with some nicely poured pint of stout.
We could all be sat around a table at some point, looking at each other, recording the Dadcast in person.
We'll definitely record it. We'll record a Dadcast where we're in a slight state of inebriation. I'm sure our listeners would dearly love that.
What could possibly go wrong? That is Dadcast, as Jarrah would say, another one in the books. Thanks, lads.
That was an OTB Podcast Network presentation.